and parks makes the Air Force One. In an overcast Cuban sun, the presidential limousine, in a fight we've never ever seen, then stepping out from Air Force One, President Obama with loved ones. Let's get the ball rolling. 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 Our presidential limousine comes rolling up on a Cuban scene. It's been nearly 90 years. Your skeptical naysayers filled with fear. Our presidential limousine comes rolling up on a scene. Our presidential limousine rolls up upon a Cuban scene. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's keep the ball rolling. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's keep the ball rolling.
For more than half a century, the sight of a U.S. president here in Havana would have been unimagined. But this is a new day. Nueva Dia between our two countries. My wife Michelle and I have brought our daughters. And by the way, they don't always want to go with us. They're teenagers now. They have friends at home and they have things to do, but they wanted to come to Cuba because they understood and we wanted to show them the beauty of Cuba and its people. We were moved by the Cubans to received us yesterday, smiling and waving as we drove in from the airport. We were grateful for the opportunity to experience old Havana and some excellent Cuban food. Our visit to the cathedral was a reminder of the values that we share, the deep faith that sustains so many Cubans and Americans. It also gave me an opportunity to express my gratitude to Cardinal Ortega, who, along with His Holiness Pope Francis, did so much to support the improved relations between our governments. I bring with me greetings and friendship of the American people. In fact, I'm joined on this trip by nearly 40 members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans. This is the largest such delegation of my presidency, and it indicates the excitement and interest in America about the process that we've undertaken. These members of Congress recognize that our new relationship with the Cuban people is in the interest of both nations. I'm also joined by some of America's top business leaders and entrepreneurs because we're ready to pursue more commercial ties which create jobs and opportunity for Cubans and Americans alike. And I'm especially pleased that I'm joined on this trip by so many Cuban Americans. For them, for the more than 2 million proud Cuban Americans across the United States, this is a moment filled with great emotion. Ever since we made it easier to travel between our countries, more Cuban Americans are coming home. For many, this is a time of new hope for the future. So, President Castro, I want to thank you for the courtesy and the spirit of openness that you've shown during our talks. At our meeting in Panama last year, you said that we're willing to discuss every issue and everything's on the table. So, with your understanding, my statement will be a little longer than usual. President Castro always jokes with me about how long Castro brothers' speeches can be. But I'm going to actually go a little longer than you probably today, with your indulgence. We have a half a century of work to catch up on. You know, our growing engagement with Cuba is guided by one overarching goal: advancing the mutual interests of our two countries, including improving the lives of our people, both Cubans and Americans. That's why I'm here. I've said consistently, after more than five very difficult decades, the relationship between our governments will not be transformed overnight. We continue, as President Castro indicated, to have some very serious differences, including on democracy and human rights. And President Castro and I have had very frank and candid conversations on these subjects. The United States recognizes progress that Cuba has made as a nation, its enormous achievements in education and in health care. And perhaps most importantly, I affirm that Cuba's destiny will not be decided by the United States or any other nation. Cuba is sovereign and rightly has great pride. And the future of Cuba will be decided by Cuba, not by anybody else. At the same time, as we do wherever we go around the world, I made it clear that the United States will continue to speak up on behalf of democracy, including the right of the Cuban people to decide their own future. We'll speak out on behalf of universal human rights, including freedom of speech, and assembly, and religion. Indeed, I look forward to meeting with and hearing from Cuban civil society leaders tomorrow. But, as you heard, President Castro has also addressed what he views as shortcomings in the United States around basic needs for people, and poverty, and inequality, and race relations. And we welcome that constructive dialogue as well, because we believe that when we share our deepest beliefs and ideas with an attitude of mutual respect, that we can both learn and make the lives of our people better.